Today's daf is Vachim daf tzadi vav. We left off in daf tzadi hey amid beis. We are talking about the requirements of mriko shtifa by kachim. We had a machlokas in the Mishnah whether it only applies to kachay kachim or applies to kachay kalim as well. And we started yesterday discussing issues of ovens and the kashrus of ovens and what gives blios. Yesterday, primarily, what we finished off with was the discussion about whether Iroi has the same din as Bishel. And we quoted three deos in Tosos that this has ramifications not just in Hilchos Kachim, but in Hilchos Yaradeya and in Hilchos Shabbos, in terms of kashrus and in terms of Hilchos Shabbos, whether Iroi has the din of Bishel. Three possibilities: that Iroi is Kikli Rishon, Iroi is Kikli Sheni, or that Iroi is neither Kikli Rishon nor Kikli Sheni, but that like we assume, that it's Mevashel Kedei Klipa. So we left off, we are up to Hahu Tanura, I believe, about 10-12 lines before the end of the page. Says the Gemara, Hahu Tanura Da'atchu Batichaya Asra Rabba Bara Eloi L'michla L'rifta L'olam. That if you have a tanur that was smeared with some type of fat of an animal, and then you bake bread in that oven, so you're never allowed to eat that bread. If that bread is fleishik, so you're not allowed to have that bread. You're never allowed to use that oven for bread. Even if you're just eating the bread with salt, meaning you're not going to have anything milchik together with the bread, because there's a chashash, we're concerned that you might come to eat the bread together with kutach. And kutach is a kind of dip that was commonly eaten together with bread, and it was milchik. Kutach had milk in it. Similarly, there is a halacha the other way also, that you're not allowed to the Gemara says meisvei. We're going to ask it as a kasha, but we'll see. Ein losh nasi isa b'chalav v'imlosh kalapas kul asurim nehergel avera. That you're not allowed to knead a dough with chalav, and if you do, then the whole pas is asur because of hergel avera. What does it mean because of hergel avera? If you have a milchig dough, you most likely, what do you do with your bread? You have meat with your bread, so you have it as a staple of every meal. So we're afraid that if you have milchig bread around the house, you're going to come to violate and eat that bread together with fleishik's kiyotze bo. And then we say similarly, ein tash nesatana ba'alya v'im tash kalapas kula asura ad she yasik esatanur. We say the whole bread is going to be asur, and any bread you make in that oven is going to be asur until you fire up the oven. And once you fire up the oven, that will kasher it out, and then it's going to be okay. You have to realize that when we speak about a tanur, it's not what we think of as an oven. The way they would make the bread is by attaching the dough to the walls of the tanur, the outer walls of the tanur. It was a big cylinder with a fire in the middle, and they would stick the dough on to the outer walls. So it's very different than the way that we make bread. So when we say that they smeared it with fat, it meant that the dough was literally touching the exact spot that was smeared with fat. This is not an issue of Recha or Zeya or any of those issues that we contend with in our ovens, where the food that's in the oven is not directly touching the walls of the oven, where it's only an issue of somehow the flavor being transmitted through the air or through the steam that comes out. Those are issues of Zeya and Recha, and that gets into the sugya of Recha Milsa, Recha Lav Milsa, and that gets much more interesting in terms of, or much more removed. But over here, it's very direct. You're dealing with dough that's touching the fat that was smeared on the walls of the oven. It's touching directly. So anyway, but what do you see over here? That it says that you're not allowed to use the oven for any bread until Yasek HaSatan, or until you fire up the oven, and firing up the oven to kasher it out would suffice. So Tiyufta Rabba Bar Ahilai Tiyufta. So that's a major question. Rabba Bar Ahilai, who had said that it's Asur L'michla L'rifta L'olam, that you're never allowed to make bread on that oven again. It sounds like there's no way to correct that there's no way to fix that. So this din that we just happened to mention over here of having fleishik bread and milchik bread, primarily it comes up in two places in Shas. Comes up over here, and it comes up in Maseches Pesachim on Daf Lamed Vav. Now, the Gemara in Pesachim gives a little more detail about this halacha that the Gemara does not go over here. The Gemara in Pesachim says that if the bread is made ke'entura, then it could be made either fleishig or milchig. And the Rishonim have a discussion what exactly ke'entura means. What does it mean that it's made ke'entura? So Rashi says ke'entura doesn't mean like. Kain means ka'ayin, like the eye of. Ki is like ayin, the eye of tura, an ox, or a bull. What does that mean? The Gemara is trying to say that if the bread is made in very small portions, the size of a bullseye, then a person can knead the dough with milk. So Rashi says, and the logic is that if you're going to have it in such small portions, you're not going to leave it around the house long enough to forget. Meaning if it's in larger portions, you might have it around long enough to forget that it was milchiks or fleishiks, but over here you're not going to have it around long enough to forget. Now, how small exactly is ke'entura is a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber in Yerdeya Sim Tzadi Zayin says that the bread has to be small enough to be eaten in one sitting, whereas Ramah is more makel and allows it to be an amount that could be consumed in one full day. Not just in one sitting, but in the several meals that a person has over the course of the day. The Aruch HaShulchan says that if a person has a large family, you're even allowed to bake enough bread that your entire family would eat in one day, which is an even further kula. If a person has a large family, that would mean you'd be allowed to make several loaves of bread, perhaps, that are either milchik or fleishik, with the assumption that they're going to eat it in one day and they're not going to forget anything. That's Rashi's understanding. The Rambam's understanding of Kentur in Hilchos Machlokes Surahs Perek Tes is that it's defining the shape of the bread, that if the bread is shaped in an unusual way, like the shape of an ox, or some other highly unusual shape. Now you have, like with cakes, they have that they come in all different shaped tins. It's just said Shalom Zachar, and he saw a cake the shape of a teddy bear or whatever. So they have, so you shape the, so teddy bear is no crazier than an ox. You have a bread that's shaped in something that's totally unusual, so that unusual shape will serve to remind people that it's not normal bread, and people will then realize that they're not going to, that there must be something else unusual about that bread, and they're not going to come to forget that it's milchiks or fleishiks. There's machlokas about the poskim, how unusual the shape has to be. Darkei Tshuva and Simsa Design Sivkot Yates says that most of the poskim don't really discuss this issue. It's more you get by a sense of just a feel of how different it is. Chachma Sadam, however, seems to say that it has to be different enough that people who are at your table say, oh, that's funny looking bread. It has to be that people who are not from around here and don't know the common customs would even though a lot of things probably appear a little bit strange to them, because there are a lot of common things in certain countries that don't appear in other countries, but even they would raise an eyebrow, meaning, oh, bread the shape of an ox? That's unusual. But if it's just a little bit unusual, then it's not good enough. Chavistas, however, says that if you're baking for private use, then you only have to bake it different than the rest of the bread in your house. It doesn't have to be baked differently. These are all very important halacha lemaisa. Happens to be la halacha we paskin, like both Rambam and Rashi. If the dough is either very small, Shulchan Aruch paskins in Yerdeya, that if it's either small amounts or it's in an unusual shape, we paskin l'kula. But the definition of, or the reason for the small amount, or defining how small is small, and defining how unusual, is very critical in terms of psak halacha, the major controversy that went on for years ago. I guess it's still going on a little bit, is the Thomas's English Muffins controversy, that Thomas's English Muffins used to be, I don't know if they still are, had an OUD on it, and Thomas's English Muffins are dairy bread. That's exactly what they are. So Rabbi Ginnack used to say, no, it fits both qualifications. They're made in very tiny portions, so they're just little English muffins, and it's shaped differently than regular bread. So that both of those kulas are questionable. Little tiny portions, you make a whole pack, you buy a whole package of them, and if the whole reason the tiny portions is that you never keep it around your house for more than a day, people keep Thomas's English muffins in the freezer, and they take it out, and they keep it for a very long time in their house. And unusual shape, is it so unusual that someone visiting from another country would say, whoa, what's that? No, it looks like a little roll of bread. It's not so unusual. So both of those kulas are highly questionable. Rav Shechta told me that he doesn't think either of those kulas are really good enough. He's the posuk for the OU, so he said there's another kula. He said that it's batel. The amount of milk that they put in it is less than shishim. And he thought that since it's only based on a concern that lest someone come to eat it with fleishig, that you don't, but it's not that you know you're going to eat it with fleishig, it's a concern that lest someone come to forget to eat it with fleishig, he thinks that that bittel works. What about in mevatel nisr l'chadchila? So it's hard to say in mevatel nisr l'chadchila. It's not isser. You're being mevatel milk in dough. It's not necessarily isser. That really goes into the lamdisha question of exactly what the nature of the isser of dairy bread is. Is it Is it the Gilyan Rasha says that just as it's usher to pour even a small drop of milk into a large pot of chicken soup, it's also usher to pour a drop of milk into a bread dough, right? Which is against what Rosh Hashanah said. Nachas Tzvi disagrees, and he says no, bread isn't iser. So Rosh Hashanah quotes that many of the Achronim are makel with this when it comes to the bread, that they assume that it's not called invatlin iser. What's the Yisod HaMachlokas? So the Yisod HaMachlokas is that the Chavos Das thinks that the Gilyan Rasha thinks that the nature of the Isser to make bread is an Isser Cheftza Shal Macholos Asuros, that dairy bread becomes a Cheftza of Macholos Asuros, whereas much the same way milk and chicken is inherently Asur to eat, and therefore it's subject to the rule of Vein Vatlin Isser L'Chadchila, and L'Chora, once the bread has already been baked in an Asur fashion, you can't then reshape it to make it Mutter, because it already became a Cheftza of Macholos Asuros, and that's the sheet of the Chavos Das quoted in the Pesach Yeshuva. Chachmas Adam, who says that you can reshape it and make it mutter, and the Nachlas Tzvi, who says that it's not a problem of bitulus v'chadchila, view it not as a cheftz of machal sasurus, but an isra and the gavra to save himself from violating nisr. So at any point, you can change it and do something to it to make sure that you will not be in violation of an isr. So again, Rav Shachtu thinks that that we could rely on the more makel understanding of those issues. There used to be a big controversy whether printing dairy on the package maybe is good enough to make it ke'en turah. That makes it very recognizable because you have a D on the package. They say that the Rav held that printing dairy on the package was a sufficient reminder, but there's some story that one of the Gedolei Yisrael, they don't say who, was being served dairy bread by his wife with salami, and he was horrified to discover that he had eaten basar b'chalav, and the Kashrus organization had relied on this kula, so they stopped relying on the kula as soon as that happened. Okay, so whatever it is. But so anyway, that's just all about dairy bread. But we're talking about the oven, right? Once the oven is smeared with the fat, so it sounds like the Gemara says you can kasher it. It's no problem. Okay, so if Rabbi Bar Eloi is wrong and you can kasher the oven easily, why do we break kederos of cheres on Pesach that have blios of chametz? What's the point of breaking it? Just fire it up and kasher it. So why do you have to break it? No, when we said that you can kasher it, it was talking about an oven that's made out of metal. That's kasherable. But if it's if you're dealing with kederos that are made out of cheres, then there's nothing to do but to break it. Or we can say, no, we're talking about an oven that's made out of cheres, and therefore it can, in fact, be kashered even though it's cheres. The difference between that and the kederos is, it depends where the fire hits it. If the fire hits it on the inside, the fire hits it on the outside. Meaning when the fire hits it on the inside, it gets much hotter. The tanur, the fire is on the inside of the tanur. When you have a kedera, how do you use a kedera? You put food in the pot, and the fire comes on the outside of the pot. So it's kasherable when you fire it up, it gets fired up from the inside. So says the Gemara, okay, v'nevra sakim yibifnim. So why don't you kasher your clay cheres by blowtorching the inside of your clay cheres? Do hasakim yibifnim, burn it up from the inside. So says the Gemara, chayas alayu demitbri. We're afraid that if a person, we tell a person to blowtorch his clay cheres, he's going to not really blowtorch it properly, because he's going to be afraid that the kli is going to break from the heat, and therefore we don't allow it. But by an oven, that's the way an oven is used. We're not afraid an oven is going to break from the heat. An oven has extreme heat, and for whatever reason, it's made in such a way where it's not going to break, where it's not a problem. But on a regular kli, on a kedera, where we have such a concern, and therefore you break it instead of kashering it. Hilka chai kuvya hesekumi bechutzu va'aser. So if you have this kuvya, which is also something that's used for cooking, but unlike a tanur, does not get burnt up, does not get fired up from the inside, gets fired up from the outside. So if it's hesekumi bechutz, then it's going to be aser. Then there's not going to be a way to kasher it. What exactly is a kuvya? So Rashi says ra'afim chalulin kemin shvisas kedera. It's a these hollow tiles that they had that you would rest the pot on the tile. Upam shetachen also shemen v'ofen bo lechem. Sometimes you wouldn't put a pot on these hot tiles. You would put bread. You would put dough and bake bread on them. But the way that you would bake it was that the fire was not on the inside. The fire was on the outside, and the bread was on the inside. So that's the way these were made. So even though they're used for cooking, the din of tanur versus the din of kedera is not a din in something that holds the food versus something that is used to fire, used as the source of heat. The din of tanur versus the din of kedera is a chilek between that which is hesekel mibefnim and that which is hesekel mibachutz. Fine, so says Gemara, but we're learning Mesech Zvachim. So I'll bring this back to Kachim. El kederu shel mikdash, amay shaberu, nadrinu l'kivshonos. The kederos of the mikdash, why did they break the kederos? Why didn't they just put them back in the kivshan? What's the kasha? So says Rashi, hol v'islu takanto b'libun, since we just said that cheres can be kashered with libun, you can fire up cheres to kasher it. Hol kimna detay mishum b'luhi. So obviously the reason that that it's not kosher is because there are blios v'lo abishul kapit kra, the name of gzeres hakasav. It's not because of bishul that there's gzeres hakasav that automatically every time there's bishul you have to break it. No, it's a din of blios that there are blios of macholos asuros in there. There are blios of nosar or whatever in the kalim of the mikdash. So you need to get rid of the blios. So nihid b'mishkan ksiv yishaver. Granted, it says in the Torah that you have to break the kelim in the Mishkan, maybe that's because they didn't have these furnaces to go and remake the klicheres and heat up the klicheres. But in the mikdash, why do you have to break them? Just put them back in the kivshan and let them be made again anew, and you could start it up again. You could make it up again. You could make a brand new again. So that's what we're asking. Why does it require Shvira in the Mikdash? Why didn't they just put it back in the Kivshan? So says Gemara, Amar Rav Zera l'fishe inos and Kivshanos b'Yerushalayim. Side din. You're not allowed to make a Kivshan in Yerushalayim. They're not allowed to have Kivshanos in Yerushalayim. Why are you not allowed to have a Kivshan in Yerushalayim? Tosfos says that it's Asr Midrabanan. It's not an Isr Daraisa to have a Kivshan in Yerushalayim. Why is it Asr? So Rashi says because it's a Gnai for Yerushalayim, because having Kivshonos causes a lot of smoke and it blackens the walls of Yerushalayim with the Ashen of Kivshonos. So because of that, that's the reason Rashi writes in Baba Kama on Daf Pei Beis that they don't have a Kivshan in Yerushalayim. Shidduchim Betzes says that not just the walls of Yerushalayim, Shidduchim Betzes in the name of Gaon says that you're not allowed to have a Kivshan in Yerushalayim because of the Kosle Beis HaMikdash. Forget about the Kosle Yerushalayim, the Kosle Beis HaMikdash are going to become blackened. And that's the problem. So they're not allowed to have a Kivshan in Yerushalayim. So says the Gemara, okay. So the Gemara asks, "Amar Abaye v'chios nashpasos ba'azara?" Yeah, but you're breaking the klicheres in the azara, so you don't want to. You want to break them because you don't want to put them back into a kishon because you don't want to have a kishon in Yerushalayim. But you need garbage dumps for all the broken klicheres, for all the shards of pottery that they're going to be smashing in the azara. Do you make ashpasos in the azara? Do you make garbage dumps in the azara that you can have a place to put all this? So he says, "No, you forgot. Ishtamite hadatani shmaya bekalnavo. You forgot what shmaya taught in kalnavo that wouldn't be necessary at all to have garbage dumps in Yerushalayim. Why? Shivrei kli cheres nivlan bimakoman. One of the miracles of the Beis Hamikdash was that when they broke the kli cheres in the azara, they would just get swallowed up in the ground, right bimakoman, right there on the spot. So it wasn't necessary to. It wasn't necessary to have any ashpos to throw them into. They would get swallowed up in the ground. Now the Tosfos over here asks why the Torah requires shvira. The whole reason that hasaka mibefnim doesn't work is a gzeira midrabanan that you might be chas on the klicheres and that it shouldn't break. But midin Torah hasaka firing it up does work. The reason the Chacham Asr making kivshonos Yerushalayim also is not a din d'oraisa. It's a takanas Chacham because the smoke is going to be mashkir the chol and it's going Sinai for Yerushalayim. So why does the Torah require Shvira? That's Tosfos Kasha. Now Rashi already dealt with it. Rashi said, no, the Torah only required Shvira for the Mishkan, because they didn't have Kivshonos around, right? But Tosfos asked this Kasha as well, and Tosfos says, Be'emes Hasakim Yubifim works. The Torah's Mechadesh, that Shvira's Kli Cheres also works. Meaning that you shouldn't say that the... what's Shvira going to do? That the Isser is to have Tam of the Karban in the Kli, and Shvira doesn't release the Tam from the Kli. No, Shvira also works. You might have thought that it doesn't work because it doesn't release the Tam. Kamash Vlan, the Torah's Mechadish, that even Shvira works. But Enochinami, on a Torah level, so this is Machlokas Rashi and Tosos, that Enochinami on a Torah level, Tosos seems to suggest that you wouldn't need only Shvira. Shvira also works, but Hasaka Mibifnim would work just as well. That Shvira is not necessary. Rashi says the reason the Torah insists on Shvira is just because that's all they had. Again, they would agree, I guess, not argue, they would agree that Hasaka Mibifnim would also work. It's just a question of why the Torah Dafka says Shvira when you have other options as well. Tosfos also asks, how does the Gemara Pesachim know that by Chulin and like Basar B'Chalav, you have the that anything that's Balua no Klicharis is Ein Yotzei La'olam. The Makar of this din is learned from Balua of a Karban Chatas. Now there's good reason to distinguish between Karban Chatas and Basar B'Chalav, for instance. I mean, it could be Karban Chatas, but only by Karban Chatas the Torah is Machmir that it's Ein Yotzei Midei Dafi La'olam, because even if you have Bishul without Balua by Karban Chatas, it requires Shvira. By Chulin, we only ask for Blios. By anything that we talk about Yerdeya, we only ask for actual time of Blios. We don't ask if there's Bishul without Bliya. That was our sugi yesterday. Does Bishul without Bliya, does that do anything? So we're Machmir by Karban Chatas. Who says we're going to be Machmir elsewhere? So Tosfos says that once we find by Din Chatas that the Torah is Mekel B'Klei Nechoshes, that you could do Mariko Shtifa, so it's Mashma that the Geder of the Isra of Kli Cheres is that the Torah considers it to considers a Bishul without Bliya, Ki'ilu there is a Bliya in there already. And Mela, you can learn what the dinim would be by blios of actual chulin. So yeah, just like by Kli Cheres, we assume any yotzim day definitely olim in terms of chatas. That's not because bishul without bliya is aser. It's because bishul, whatever we assume could happen with bishul without bliya, we would treat the same halachos when there are actual blios by other areas of halacha. So when there are actual blios by chulin, we're going to assume similarly that it's any yotzim day definitely olim, that the tam remains in the kli forever. Fine, says the Gemara Vayter, El Hadam Rav Nachman Rav Arvua, Tanra Shal Mikdash Shal Matechas Hava, that the Tanra, the Beis HaMikdash, was made out of metal, Navid Decheres, the Seikom Yibifnim, who, again, based on what we're saying, that you're able to kasher a Tanra of Cheres, because it's a Seikom Yibifnim, because it burns up from the inside, not from the outside. It's only a Kedera of Cheres that's a problem, because the fire that hits the Kedera of Cheres hits it from the outside while the food and the Blios are coming on the inside, and we're afraid that if you try to heat it up from the inside that you're going to be tentative because you're going to be afraid that it's going to break. But if you have a real oven, you're allowed to kasher it out. So why did they make the Tanner of the Beis HaMikdash out of metal? Why didn't they just make it out of Cheres and heat it up from the inside to kasher it? Says Gemara, Kivan di kashtei alechem alechem apanim dafiyasin betanur ukedushasin betanur havelik kli sheres. There are certain types of karbanos mincha, the shtei alechem and the lechem apanim, the shtei alechem of shavuos and the lechem apanim that we had constantly every week, that the baking of it was in the tanur, but not just the baking, the first time it ever went into a kli that had kedusha was in the tanur. It gained its kedusha from the tanur. Why didn't it go into a kli sheres before? So Rashi explains, shei nasim b'kli sheres l'fi shein tuunin Shemen. They didn't go into Kli Sharis because they didn't require shemen, and therefore kedamrin perk she'alechem lishasim varichasim b'chutz vafiyasim b'fnim detanur mekadishlu. So it's only when it was baked in the tanur that it got its kedusha. So mele the tanur wasn't just a place where you bake things that are kadosh. The tanur was a kli sharis where it was actually makdish things. It was makdish kabbalas. It was makdish the shtei alechem and the lechem apanim. And the rule is, klisharis to cheres lavdinan. We don't make klisharis out of cheres. So that's the halacha. Afilu Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda lo kamar ela de eitz aval de cheres lo. And even according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, we would never make klisharis out of anything. We would make it out of eitz, yes, but not out of cheres. Everyone agrees we can't make klisharis out of cheres. Okay, good. So how do we pass la halacha? So Rambam writes that if you roast meat in an oven, in an oven of cheres, so it's a suffix whether you have to break it or not, because the meat never touched the oven directly, so it's a suffix whether you have to break the oven or not. And that's how he leaves it. He says it's a suffix. The Gemara was never poshet 100% whether it needs to be broken or not. So the Kesef Mishnah says that's strange of the Rambam to do. Normally when something is left as a suffix, he'll tell us it's a suffix, and then he'll say, and because it's a suffix, since it's a din d'oraisa, we need to be machmir, or since it's a din drabanan, we're able to be makel. Over here he just says it's suffik, and he doesn't say that we should go and be machmir. So the Chagnasan explains that you can't pass the chumra over here, that it requires shvira misafik. Again, we're talking about kachim, we're talking about taking a kalim in the mikdash and breaking them. So you can't say that it's going to require shvira misafik, because like with many chumras, the chumra comes with a kula, because since there's a tzad safik to say that the Torah is makbid only on bishul and bliya, but bishul without bliya would not require shvira. So if you break it misafik, it's going to turn out that you're making an ashba ba'azara. It's going to be a big zilzal to the azara, that you're going and just throwing away things unnecessarily in the azara. So you can't paskin misafik one way or the other. Misafik, there's no clear chumra of what to do. So that's why the Rambam doesn't tell you, let's just be machmir and let's break it anyway. The other teretz that he gives is based on Tosfos, that even l'fiat sad that the suffik is with bishul without bilua is aser, doesn't mean that the bishul itself is aser. It means that the Torah counts the bishul as if bliya also happened, and therefore the Torah is machmir by kli cheres more than it is by kli nechoshes, which only requires mrika shtifa. So since that's a difficult svara to understand, the Rambam had a hard time passing like that svara ladina. Since the whole svara to say that bishul without blios is a problem, is the whole svar according to Tosfos that bishul without blios is the same as blia itself, so the Rambam had a hard time saying that that's really that he's going to paskin like that svara. So the Rambam didn't paskin that way. Okay, so let's see the Gemara weiter. Rav Yitzchak bar Yehuda have a ragel kamei to Rami bar Chama. Rav Yitzchak bar Yehuda used to go to Rami bar Chama to learn. So Rami bar Chama was his original Rebbe, Shafke Vazel Rav Sheshes, but then he abandoned Rami bar Chama and he went to Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes Rami bar Chama didn't take to it too well. Yom Echad Pagabe, one day Rami bar Chama sees a Rav Yitzchak bar Yehuda. Amrlei, iklafta naktan recha asila liyad mishum dazaltalach lekamid Rav Sheshes havalach ki Rav Sheshes. Interesting. Normally the Gemara doesn't explain the expression. Over here it says the expression, then explains the expression. It basically he says, what, you think just because you buy Rav Sheshes? Notice he didn't question the godless of Rav Sheshes. He said, you think just because you buy Rav Sheshes you're gonna be him? You think it's always beneficial to learn by the greatest gadol? Sometimes learning by the greatest gadol doesn't make you the greatest gadol. Learning by the person who's the best teacher for you makes you as great as you can be. So why are you going to Rav Sheshes? You think being near Rav Sheshes is gonna make you like Rav Sheshes? Rashi says, Mashal hu al gasei haruach. The mashal is for people who are arrogant. Mishtadlan lamod b'makom gedolim. They try to stand and they try to be seen next to the gedolim. Va'omer hadochas achzani biyadi v'reach hamlucha niklat. So he says, look, do I smell like royalty yet? Because I hang out with the king enough? No, it doesn't work that way. You're not if you're not ready for it, you're not going to be. You don't become royalty just because you're hanging out with royalty. So he was very insulted. So you have this in yeshiva sometimes where rebbeim get insulted. So he's very insulted that he left his shir. So Amar Lei, love. So he said, no, that's not it. You misunderstood. I'm not. It's not gaiva. I'm not going there because it's the place where where I'm going to look smartest. Mishum Hachi is for the following. Mark he beat in a mill. He said, really, it's not because of gaiva. It's because your shir is terrible. I mean, that's basically what he says to him. It's kibeina milsa, mar kibeina milsa, pashuli misvara. Every time I ask you a question, you say misvara. I think this, I think that. And then as soon as I find a brice or a mishnah that's against it, I realize that your svara was wrong. I have a kasha on your svara, and I realize that you were wrong. So Rav Sheshes kibbein a milsamine. Rav Sheshes, when I ask him something, he always has a maramakom. He always has something to connect it to. He's always able to say, look over here in this mishnah, this brisa, this tosefta, and he's able to give me a chapter and verse. And therefore, so even if I find another mishnah, another brisa, another maramakom that's against it, at least I'm armed with maramakomos on the other side. So masnisa, at least I know that it's a stira in the mishnais or a stira amongst the tanaim. But when you say a baich svara, and then I see that that there's a mishnah somewhere else. So what does that do for me? So now I know that you were wrong. So it didn't help me. So Amalei, by me name Milsadiv Shalach Ki Hamasnisa. He says, oh yeah, I could do it. Ask me something, and I'll show you a mishnah or a brisa. So by me name. So this there's a lot of mussar in this gemara, I think. So by me name, he asks him, Bishal b'miksas kli tam riku shtifa ein tam. He says, what if you cook in only part of the kli? The food didn't touch the entire surface of the kli. Do you need riku shtifa on the entire kli, or you only need riku shtifa where the food touched? That's my shaila to you. Amalei. He says, doesn't require mikra shtifa in the whole thing. Just like you have by hazaa, that it doesn't have to touch the whole thing, the hazaa of the dam chatas, that is nita, the original subject of the tzarek, that sprinkles on the beged, that splashes on the beged, where we said you don't need to be mechabes the entire beged, you only need to be mechabes the makam adam. So too, when it comes to blios in a kli, if the blios are only in part of the kli, you only need to do mikra shtifa on that part of the kli. You shouldn't have to do mikra shtifa on the whole thing. So basically he says, I'll prove to you, I can bring you a mishnah. So he asked him a shayla, and he gave him a svara. He didn't give me, he said, svara, it should be just like azah. So he says, v'alo tanahachi. So he said, guess what? I found the mishnah against you. I found tanaim against you. So Amalei mistaver kebeged. He says, but it's mistaver that it should be like that. He says, okay, granted, I didn't have a mishnah, but really, my logic makes sense. Ma beged enoton kibus el makom hadam afkli enoton rikoshtif el makom bishul. So it's logical that just like the beged only requires on that makom, the makom of the dam, so too the kli should only require rikoshtifa on that makom. Amalei mi dami. He says, no, I could take issue with your svara. Dam lo mefapea, bishul mefapea. Dam, when it hits the beged, only stains that spot. It's not like the other spots on the beged have a little bit of dam in them also. The dam is not mefapea, it doesn't spread out throughout the entire beged. When you cook in a kli, the bleel spread throughout the entire surface of the kli, even if the food is only on one spot of the kli. V'o tanya, furthermore, we have a braisa, Chomer ba'aza mi mriko shtifa v'chomer mriko shtifa mi ba'aza, that there are certain chomers that aza has over mriko shtifa and certain chomers that mriko shtifa has over aza, as follows. Chomer ba'aza sha'aza yeshna b'chataos ha'chitonios u'b'chataos ha'pnimios v'yeshna l'fnei zrika. Aza applies to both the chataos ha'chitonios and the chataos ha'pnimios, and also before zrika, mashen kin for mriko shtifa, as opposed to by mriko shtifa, which is not so. Chomer b'mriko shtifa, the mriko shtifa has their own chumras, because shamriko shtifa no hagas bein mekachem kachem bein mekachem kalim, according to some tanaim, at least, mriko shtifa applies to both kachem kachem and to kachem kalim, which is not true of hazaa, which is only hazaa is only by kamer chatos. Bish, and also another chumra mriko shtifa, here it is. Bishal b'miksas hakli, ton mriko shtifa kol hakli, mashen kin v'azah. Here I have a beferish of Bryce that says one of the chumras that mriko shtifa have over azah is that mriko shtifa, even if it only went on part of the kli, the mriko shtifa is going to be needed in the entire kli. By hazah, we don't say such a thing. By azah, when the dam chata splatters onto the beged, you only need to do kibos on that part of the beged. So he says, I have a Bryce that's directly against your svara. Samalei itanya tanya. He says, all right. Fine, you have a brisa, so what can I do? I can't go against a brisa. The time am I? What's the reason for it? Why do we say that mriko shtifa is required on the entire kli? I mean, not, we have a brisa that says it. What's the svara for the brisa? Amakra, based on the pasuk, v'kli nechoshes bushala v'afilu b'miktsas kli. That in kli nechoshes bushala, pasuk says, so we darshan that it means even b'miktsas kli, that it doesn't have to be in the entire kli. So that's how we know that mriko shtifa is required on the entire kli, even if the blios or the bishul only have happened in part of the kli. So what's the message of this Gemara? So first of all, I think the message is that that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. That someone who says I could change, I'll change my whole style of learning. If that's his style of learning, that's his style of learning. That's the way he's going to do it. He's always going to work with svara. He's not always going to He has to have the integrity to say when there's a brisa against the svara, when the svara is proven incorrect, to say that it's incorrect, but to try to change and be completely it doesn't work out that way. But a lot of other messages probably in this Gemara also. It's a very fascinating story. Anyway, echad kachim kachim. So the Mishnah said that the din of Mariko Shtif applies to both Kachi Kachim and Kachim Kalim, but Rabbi Shimon disagreed. Rabbi Shimon thought Kachi Kalim do not require Mariko Shtifa. So where do we get all this from? So where are these Shitas derived from? So the Gemara says as follows. So I only know that it applies to Chatas called Kachim Inayin. How do I know that it applies to other Kachim? To other kachim as well. So says the Gemara, Tamalomar kachi kachim hi. Yachal shani marbe esa truma, so I might think to include truma as well. Tamalomar osa. Prat l'truma div Rabbi Yehuda. There's no requirement of Mariko Shtifa on kelim that had blios of truma, right? The truma is specifically excluded from the word osa. Rabbi Shimon Omer, kache kachim tunu Mariko Shtifa. Rabbi Shimon says, look, kache kachim do require Mariko Shtifa. Kachim kalim enim tunu Mariko Shtifa. Kachim kalim do not require Mariko Shtifa. Tichsiv kodesh kadeshim, kache kachim in, kachim kalim lo, right? Stavka kache kachim, not kachim kalim. So my time with Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda, who says that kachim kalim are included as well? After all, the pasuk says kodesh kadashim mide isrich osal mutei truma mechal de kachim kalim tunu mariko shtifa. He says, why would you need a special pasuk to exclude truma if kachim kalim was excluded also? The fact that you need a pasuk to exclude truma shows you to include kachim kalim. Rabbi Shimon Amalach osa kadamrin. Rabbi Shimon would say no, osa is not coming to exclude kachim kalim. Right, osa is actually coming to exclude. It's not coming to exclude truma. It's coming to exclude kachim kalim. V'truma lo bayi shtifa mariko. Wait a second. We're making an assumption that everyone agrees that you don't need Mariko Shtifa and Truma when they're blios of Truma. Does Truma not need Mariko Shtifa? Vatanya, Kedera should be Shalba Basra Lo Yivashal Bachalav, Vim Bishal Beno Sein Tam, Truma Lo Yivashal Bachulin, Vim Bishal Beno Sein Tam. It says that if there is a Bishal of Truma in a pot, that if it's No Sein Tam into the Chulin, it's going to be Aser. So doesn't that imply that you need a regular Mariko Shtifa? You need to kasher it out? Says Gemara, three possibilities. Amar Abayi, number one, Lo Tzricha Lo Amar Mar, Bishal Bemixas Kli Tam Mariko Shtifa Kalakli. Hachuma Lo Tzarek When we say it doesn't require Mariko Shtifa, it means it doesn't require all the chumras of Mariko Shtifa. Of course you need to kasher it out. If there are blios of truma in a kli, you need to kasher out the kli. But let's say there are blios in only part of the kli, do you need to kasher out the entire kli? No, you only need to kasher the area that had blios. The din of kashering out the entire kli is dafka din Mariko Shtifa, that's the din kachim. Rava Amar, Lotzricha L'dam Amar, B'mayim V'lo B'yayin, B'mayim V'lo B'mazug. Ha, afilu b'yayin, afilu b'mazut. By Mariko Shtifa, there's another chumra, that you're not allowed to use anything but water to kasher it out. When it comes to truma, a kli that has blios of truma, you can use other liquids to kasher out the kli. You don't need to dafka use water. Rabba bar ula amar, lo tzricha lada amar mar, Mariko Shtifa b'tzonein. Ha, afilu b'chamin. Mariko Shtifa you do with cold. This, truma, you kasher out with even with hot. What do you mean, even with hot? You did it Mariko Shtifa only with cold. That's how they kashered out kachim. They used cold water. So what it means is that they says it. Well, let's see in the Gemara first. Honey, Klamadiyam Mariko Shtifa Betzonin. Almadiyam Mariko Bechamin Shtifa Betzonin Meikel Meimar. That's if Yol Mariko and Shtifa is Betzonin. That works out really well. But if Yol Mariko is Bechamin Shtifa is Betzonin, then what are we talking about? Says the Gemara Shtifa Yeserta. We're talking about the extra Shtifa that they would do. Meaning, not that they would kasher only with cold. It's that after kashering it, they would rinse it with cold water. That's a din only by kachim. That din would not apply by truma. That's a very interesting comment of the Gemara. Tosus writes that from here we see that kelim that have blios of iser, when you do agala, it's unnecessary to rinse them in cold water afterwards, because that's only a din by kachim. That's a din of mariko shtifa, to do a shtifa yisera to rinse it with cold water afterwards. Tosin Avodah Zarah says that which the Gemara says shtifa yiserta, what it means is that you do a double shtifa b'tzonein, that by truma you only need one rinsing with cold, you don't need two rinsings with cold. And Tosin says that's the makar, not that from here we see that you don't have to, that's the makar that you you do have to rinse with cold after you do agala, because you only don't need to do a second rinsing with cold. Tosus points out Rashi doesn't learn that way. Rashi learns it's the original rinsing, but he says you need to explain a tam for the minhag ha'olam. The minhag ha'olam is that after we do agala, we do rinse it with cold. Tor writes that according to the Yesh Mefarish, you don't need to rinse with cold. However, in Tshuvas Hagaonim and the Rush and Tshuvas Rashi and the Shita Sarambam, that you do need to rinse with cold after agala, and the reason is that the water that you originally did the agala with is treif. So that water is going to get balua back into the kli unless you rinse it off right away. Torah and Shulchan Aruch Paskin that you need to remove that moisture right away. So you should rinse it. But all the Achronim point out, if you don't, it's not ma'akev the agala. The agala would still work if you don't rinse it. But when we kasher for Pesach, that's something people should be aware of. That you dip the silver into the big giant pot, you then need to run it under cold water as soon as you take it out. That's part of the din of how to kasher the kelim. Okay.